I'm Helen.
I'm Miss Sinclair.
And I'm Edison.
Y'all better grab your extra large popcorn. We are in the thick of things with great films.
I am open and positive.
I don't like it.
Let's throw on these boxer gloves.
Let's do it.
Let's fucking do it.
Welcome to Talk Movie to Me, a weekly podcast where we do a deep dive on a new release that's just hit theaters or streaming. I'm Helen.
I'm Edison.
And I'm Miss Sinclair. In a dystopian America, a civil war has engulfed the nation. The American dream has turned into a divided nightmare under the control of an authoritarian government who have been wreaking havoc on the country at large, causing violence, bloodshed, and anarchy. People are starving, homeless, and fearful, and reconciliation seems nowhere in sight. Buildings are abandoned, cars are being bombed and burned, and the death toll keeps rising. The president, played by Nick Offerman, is serving his third term and will soon be coming face to face with rebel factions as they are en route to the White House. Amidst this chaos and political unrest, we meet Lee Smith, played by Kirsten Dunst. Lee is a renowned war photographer who plans on reaching the White House to photograph the president before the city falls. Joining Lee on this dangerous venture is her colleague Joel Wagner Mora, her mentor Sammy, Stephen McKinley Henderson, and much to Lee's hesitation, the young and very inexperienced photojournalist Jesse, played by Kaylee Spaney. The journey leads them through deserted towns and refugee camps. They see hostages, captured soldiers, executions, snipers, and even a town living in tranquil ignorance. As Jesse battles with the sight of such futile violence, her idol Lee stays stoic, swallowing these moments of terror and trepidation as all just part of the job. But there is something gnawing at Lee's core. The horrors of her work have been seeping into her psyche, and her many near-death experiences are making it harder for her to keep her shooting hand steady. She begins to grapple with the idea of a piece of herself being stripped away with each click of her camera. Lee knows that a photo can make or break a story. Images provide context and visual communication. They convey powerful meaning and emotion. They let us see faces and places that are out of our reach and remind us of what once was. They're a gateway into the past, while the present time continues to quickly pass and our memories become foggy. But who are the people behind the lens? Who steps out into the unpredictable world to seek beauty but be willing to accept the horror? Who willingly enters the eye of the storm with the hope that the perfect shot is only one click away? Directed by Alex Garland, Civil War asks the question, if a picture is worth a thousand words, then what is the cost to capture it?
Wow, that was such a good intro.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite the movie to digest for sure.
Well, absolutely, lots to take in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, should we just first say that we're recording in person?
Yes, we are.
Which we haven't done in so long, and it's really exciting and nice to see your faces in person.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It was really interesting to hear you deliver that intro right before my very eyes.
I know. We're sitting next to each other, so nice. And we saw the movie together.
We did.
Which is really nice.
It was really nice, actually.
Well, yeah. I didn't, but you two did.
Yeah, you weren't there, Helen. Yeah. But
left out as always.
No, as usual. No.
She hates us.
Okay, so let's get into it. What were your first impressions, Helen?
Yeah, my first impression when we see the title card come up over the screen was that the text looked weird to me, and I was like, this feels like a placeholder title card.
Oh, it really didn't
feel like impactful.
You hate a title card, Helen.
I don't hate a title card. I don't like a bad one. And this one felt, it just didn't feel right. I don't know. The text, it was like typewriter text, and it just didn't do anything for me.
I guess it wasn't memorable. I truly don't remember it at all. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and then we get into a protest on a street where we see Kirsten Dunst's character and Kaylee Spaney meet each other.
Mm-hmm.
And right away, I just felt like this feels a bit off to me.
Mm.
And I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but I was like, something about this isn't ringing true.
No.
Interesting.
That was how I felt. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, my first impression was, so we had gone to see this in person together, Sinclair, and that was really exciting. We were in Cinema 8 at Varsity, as always.
We had a nice 9-ounce glass of wine.
We did, which I needed about 6 more of them.
Yeah.
to deal with the absolute shattered stress of this film. And, but yeah, from the opening, I was really, really like held capture right away. It starts off pretty intensely, and I had the complete opposite reaction of you. I think there was something about Kirsten Dunst immediately that just like moved me. I was just like hooked and in, I don't know, instantaneously. I was, I feel like I was like emotionally moved right off the bat.
Yeah. Yeah. Edison was crying within the first 10 minutes of this film. and I actually haven't seen a movie with you in so long that I forgot how quickly you do get swept up into a film. But, you know, I'll be honest, I felt that this was quite visceral right away. And yeah, seeing this transpire and watching these photojournalists, I actually had a moment where I remember I took a career test and my number one job that this test said I should do was photojournalism.
Interesting.
And in my head while watching this, I was like, no, that's just not accurate. I just would not put myself in these situations. I would not be able to go where the action is. I'd be like retreating from the action. So I remember having that thought.
Yeah.
But I found this to be very, I thought this opening was affecting. I did, and I don't know if it was the wine or Edison crying beside me, but I don't know. I just, you forget that people are out there doing this and trying to capture this, and it just, there was something about it that just felt quite affecting.
It was the single moment for me. It was like when you saw the person running to, and you, and you just saw the, just so matter-of-fact way that Lee, Kirsten Dunst's character, just clocked it immediately and was like, oh, and grabbed the girl and pushed her down.
Yeah.
And it wasn't an emotional response. It was just a
like knee-jerk reaction almost.
A knee-jerk, yeah, recognition of what was occurring. Like, just the facts. Shit, that's about to happen. Okay, get down. And something in that, the, like, need to be so just clear-headed in absolute chaos. Yeah, I would never be able to do this job. I would be a weeping mess, and this, I'd be killed instantly. Like, no.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah. Well, why don't we get into storytelling? You know, this is interesting because the story structure of this is, like, oddly like a road trip movie.
Yeah,
you know, you have characters in a car, they're going from point to point, they're meeting people along the way, they're growing as people. I would definitely not necessarily classify this as a war movie. It's way more of a road trip movie and a journalism movie.
Yeah.
And that was the most surprising thing about the storytelling, was I didn't realize that this was so much more of a journalism movie than a war movie, which I liked.
Okay.
Me too. I absolutely loved that about it.
But I can see how, if you really wanted to go into this and dig deep into the politics of how this war started and have a very specific, like, political script, a very specific point of view, and then you get this kind of like ode to journalism, I can see how people could feel a little like bamboozled by this.
And I think that's my criticism of the movie, is that I felt like it was trying to do two things. It was trying to tell a story about photojournalism and like war journalism, and also tell a story of like a future version of the United States that could have a civil war. And I didn't really feel like it did the latter successfully, which is what I wanted to see. Like, the movie's called Civil War. I wanted to see a movie about how could a civil war happen in the United States in the near future, and I don't actually feel like I got that. Like, I felt like I got the idea of it, but not actually an in-depth exploration about it. Mm-hmm. And maybe to me, the criticism is like false advertising. Like if this had been given a different title, then maybe I would have felt differently. But I was like going into it being like, okay, how could this happen? Let me see it.
See, that is, I think, really interesting. And I'm sure that a lot of people share in that. I feel like there's going to be a lot of people who saw the trailers and were expecting like Olympus Has Fallen. And they'll be disappointed because that is not what this movie is.
Yeah.
I also didn't know that it was basically a road trip movie, right? For like mm-hmm. the whole, for 80% of the film. But for me, the way that it was not apolitical, because that doesn't exactly make sense. It's trying really hard to not push anybody in it in a direction.
Yeah.
Even just like combining Texas and California together is kind of like, okay, really? But I bet you that there's some logic there outside of just
he did that on purpose.
Yeah, and making it not left versus right. Very clearly not trying to be political in the sense of polarizing right now. But it's not really an apolitical film. And we have a president who is doing his third term, which mm-hmm. means that he's clearly tossed the Constitution aside. The 22nd mm-hmm. Amendment says they can only be a president for two terms. He's dismantled the FBI. Journalists have been designated enemy combatants. So obviously this is like a fascist mm-hmm. state.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a political commentary on that. But I like that the movie is just showing us what's happening and not giving us, like, it's like you have to make up your own mind about this.
Mm-hmm.
And not, I don't need an explanation. It's just there. It's happened.
Yeah. And it's honestly like, well, you know, pick an issue. Why is there a civil war? Well, I mean, we could list off a ton, right? I don't think that you really need a specific in-depth look at that, or at least I didn't, because, you know, you just look at the state of the states right now and you can come up with your own reasons why this would happen. There's a lot of issues going on over there that are making that country divided. I think that it's interesting that it's California and Texas, where you have put together as allies two states that have very different political views. And it's, you know, it's like saying, okay, well, we have this fascist government that is actually bigger than these differences that these two states have.
Mm.
So they've had to band together to challenge this government. This government has become bigger than any of these differences, which I think is kind of an interesting choice.
I also think that they are two of the largest states economically, geographically. I think it could make sense where they may be the only two that like could, you know, mm-hmm, Rhode Island is not going to be like, we resist.
Yeah, I feel like the film is presenting us with these journalist characters who are supposed to be these unbiased characters. And I also feel like the film takes that stance as well.
The
film is acting as that unbiased character as well. They're just trying to capture things as they happen and show them as they are. And, you know, Kirsten Dunst says in the film, we don't ask questions, we record things so other people can ask questions. A lot of filmmakers do take this stance. I don't think that Alex Garland has ever been that firm in his stance. He always kind of has a vagueness to his films. Like, I remember watching Men, and at the end I was like, does he like women? Does he hate women? I don't know. You can interpret that ending in so many different ways. He has a certain vagueness and a certain existentialism to his work that leaves things more abstract. It leaves things a little bit more vague and up to the audience. Yeah, I think, too, he wanted to present journalists in an unbiased way right now and in a positive way. Like, hey, there are still people out there mm-hmm. that are there taking these photos. These photos are real, especially with the state of, you know, fake news yes. and social media and AI generated images. And I think that he really wanted to show that there are physical people in these physical situations that are capturing things as they are. And we shouldn't really forget that.
I appreciate that. I think it's just not the movie that I was expecting to go into. I wasn't expecting mm-hmm. to go into a journalism movie. And I saw this movie with Justin because I thought that the political stuff would interest him in it. And so I think I wanted that more for him because I thought that would be more interesting for him. So, you know, I think that maybe I was seeing it through that lens as an audience member, knowing that, okay, is he going to like it? Is he not going to like it?
Yeah, that totally makes sense, Helen. It totally does. I think if it were advertised as a war journalism film with this like epic circumstance in which it's occurring, then it may have, you may have gone in differently. You would have gone in differently. You may have landed differently. For me, I love that. I mean, I have a degree in journalism. I have never really pursued it. I mean, I work in communications, but I haven't pursued it in this capacity. And I love the respect that this film gave to that. I thought that there was so much about the role of journalism in war, the impact of it, the cost of bearing witness. The journalists in this film have to grapple with the most intense, horrifying psychological shit that you could possibly imagine. And yet they still have to maintain their composure in these incredibly high stress environments to get the truth out, because a simple photograph or something, just documenting what's actually happening can change everything. And I thought that was incredible. And you're right, like where the film didn't capture, and what I think is actually the biggest threat to us right now, is the like AI of it all, the misinformation and disinformation. And if listeners, you aren't sure of what the difference is there, misinformation is the inadvertent spread of false information without intent to harm, and disinformation is false information designed to mislead others and deliberately spread with the intent to confuse fact and fiction. And we are currently experiencing a lot of both, obviously, and the rise of AI and such is is like a massive influence on that. But it's why the role of these journalists is more important than ever.
And I think that the film wants to show us, hey, there are people that do this for a reason. They're risking their lives for a reason. It's not just being an image, an easy image to capture. These images have a purpose, and the person taking these images has to have a reason for doing this. They want this to affect something in some way. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it. You have to be able to see how high these stakes are and believe that there's people out there that are wanting to do this to affect change. And you get this character like Lee, who has become quite numb to this and quite jaded, because you think of this person's career, who has shot war. She's a war photographer. She's gone all over the world shooting wars and seeing horrible things, relaying that information back in some way, and then having the same thing happen in her own country.
It was shocking to me, and maybe this is part of why the opening scene felt a bit off. It was just shocking to watch a person take a photo of someone die. That like unsettled me so much. Where I was like, how can you just take a picture? And I understand why. But it kind of fucked me up. I was how can you take a photo of someone being shot in the head? That's fucked up.
Is fucked up. It's completely insane. But that is what has to happen. And that's why you see that moment when she's in her bathtub and she like is covering her eyes. And we get this montage of some of the other things that she has seen, and there's the one of the man in the tire being lit on fire. And like, I was like, once again, tears streaming down my face in this movie, like throughout the whole thing. But it's because there was something about her, I just believed that character. I was in it, and I just thought, my God, this person had to see all of that. Had to like be present. And and how do you exist with maintaining objectivity and and a distance in some capacity so it doesn't just destroy you? I wouldn't know how. It's too much.
Well, it's like even a wildlife photographer watching a cheetah chase a zebra. And they can't interfere, right? Because these photos are just proof that things happened. And you know, in the intro when I said like a picture is worth a thousand words, when you hear something, it's one thing. But when you see an image of something, it changes you. It hits you.
Yes.
so deeply. Like, I remember watching, they do kind of reference Vietnam in this, but journalism was so important at that time, especially photojournalism. And if you watch like a Ken Burns doc, if you watch his Vietnam doc, he has access to all these photos from the Vietnam War that are in this documentary. And the impact of this documentary, I remember watching this and just seeing monks lighting themselves on fire and just sitting and watching these images and crying.
But it's also someone lit themselves on fire in America like last week.
Outside
of Trump's case. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, God.
It's like this, we're like, this is, it is the canary in the coal mine. It's saying like, this is, we're right on the tipping point of this. It's terrifying. Like, the future of America is scary, and America is still the global power, and it's so dominant and impactful in so many ways. And this film was like, this is the end of American exceptionalism. And it's like, scary. It is scary. Okay, so we've talked a lot about the themes of the film, but this is ultimately like, it's not a road trip movie. It is in a way. But like, did you find the tense scenes impactful? Did you find the action sequences impactful? That whole last, the whole last act, let's call it. Like, what did you feel about that?
Well, I have to say that the scene with Jesse Plemons is incredible.
Yeah, I know.
I loved that scene. I was very engaged throughout this whole movie. And, you know, is it an action movie? I guess so. It doesn't feel that way to me because there's so much going on within it. I mean, I enjoyed the pacing of it, and I was very engaged throughout the film. And I would like to talk more about the Jesse Plemons scene, but how did you feel, Sinclair, about the tone and the pace?
Yeah, I was just in this. I was in it. There was something about the unease of it, the images being produced as these characters are experiencing it. You do feel like you're really going along with it. I really liked the Kirsten Dunst character.
Yeah, me too.
I liked her, those moments of her at like existential questioning of all this. I prefer that to a film that has like heavy exposition, heavy explanation, you know, like an Aaron Sorkin or something. You can picture if he did a movie about a civil war, right? Like, I much prefer experiencing this. So I just felt there was something very
special and unique.
Yeah, it just it just hits you in a deeper spot, I felt like. And I think a lot of criticism of this, or people are saying this movie didn't really say anything. And I don't think that at all. I think that there was a lot being said, but a lot of it came from the feelings that you're getting from
witnessing it.
Yeah.
I think that's, I agree. Yeah. I think that's maybe why it impacted me so much too. Like, I was shooketh.
Yeah,
I was fully fucking shooketh at this movie.
So was the theater, though. The theater was quite still, and there was a there was just like an unease in the theater being part of this world.
I am curious how someone who has actually been a part of a civil war like this in a different country, how they would take this film.
Well, I mean, I don't, it's not a civil war, but I can tell you that I do have a friend who's from Venezuela, and that there was a huge amount of civil unrest and collapse in that country, and terrible, terrible shit happening, and clashes between protesters and the government and all of the rest of it. And he couldn't watch it. He was like, he watched it at the cinema, but he was like, I fucking hated that movie. It was too real. It was, it was like horrifying for him. Fully re-triggered him in a very real way. He said, I went home, I couldn't sleep. I had anxiety the whole next day. So,
because there was a part of me while I was watching it that thought, is this just shocking because it's happening here? Like, is this representative of what it would look like? Or is it just shocking to me because you don't expect to see it in Western culture?
Yeah, so my take is that it's shocking to us and alarming to us and too real, maybe,
okay,
if you've experienced it.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that Jesse Plemons scene, I could watch that just as a short film. Like, I thought that scene was so incredible. And him in that part, Jesse Plemons in that part, is exceptional.
Yeah.
He is an exceptional actor. Like, he plays it, it's so banal, the way he plays it. Like, it's nothing. It's no thing, right?
Yeah, and we'll discuss more of that in performances. Mm. Something that that scene was truly horrifying. Mm-hmm. And I think it was interesting because, you know, when we're in the cities, it's big. It's a protest. It's explosions. It's helicopters. It's military. And that's scary in one way, of course. But somehow you feel like you could duck at a safety. You could, like, duck and hide somewhere. Mm-hmm. Whereas when the scene when they're, like, with the snipers and you're out in the middle of nowhere, or that scene there where it's just, like, nature and you're like, fuck, these Americans with their... Like, there's so much open space. Like, it's the Wild West. Yeah. It's way scary. I found that way scarier. It would be terrifying to be out there like that.
Yeah. You don't know who you're going to stumble upon.
Yeah. Well, do we want to jump into performances?
Yeah, mm-hmm. sure.
Okay, well, let's. I'll jump on what you were just talking about with Jesse Plemons. I mean, it's a cameo. It's a very tiny. He's literally in one scene, but, like, stole it. I mean, was incredible.
Yeah.
Big competition. Who I love more, Joaquin and Rooney or Kirsten and Jesse? My two favorite Hollywood couples.
Yeah.
I mean... He's great, and he can be so eerie.
Yeah. Very unsettling. You know?
But I also love that he seems like just such a nice guy, too, in real life. But he can play such a dick.
I think he has this ability to, like, be really... He's got the confidence to be so quiet and still and, like, wait and patient. And so what makes him more scary is the unpredictability. Mm-hmm. You can feel his inner coil being like wound up, but you don't know when it's going to burst. Mm-hmm. And it's so good.
This was actually supposed to be a different actor who dropped out at the last minute. And Kirsten was just like, my husband will do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Who was it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I bet he's kicking himself in the ass.
Yeah. Let's talk about Kirsten.
Fuck yes.
She's so good.
Love
in this.
Kiki.
Yeah. She has like this detached quality that she does so well. Mm-hmm. And I love how her face looks too.
Okay, so I'm glad you said that because that is actually one of my notes. Mm-hmm. She looks great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she is, you know, over 40.
Yeah.
And she looks over 40 and it's amazing because she looks great, but I've grown up with this person. Mm-hmm. Like, she's, I think, 1 year older than me or so. And I have watched her movies since I was young and grown up with her. And when I see her on the screen, you know, I'm looking at her face and I'm like, oh, you're getting lines where I'm getting lines.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I can see... that you're my age.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's such a different experience in watching like Emily Blunt, who is also close in age to me. But you look at her and she just looks great, but she looks what she should look like.
I know.
Yeah, like this character would not be getting Botox and filler any of these things. Like, she wouldn't be.
Yeah, there was just a realism to her actually being this character. She's also a Hollywood veteran at this point.
Yes.
She's been doing this since she was a child. And her performance against Kaylee Spaney is perfect because she's a young star coming in. Kirsten's
with Sofia Coppola.
This. Yeah. With Sofia Coppola. Yeah. It's kind of great. You can see her experience. And I also just love the way she physically was holding the camera.
Yeah.
You can tell she practiced a lot to like look like a believable photographer.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like there was something in this performance I like that just grabbed me and held me instantly, where I believed her 100% and literally just felt everything so intensely. In that whole final scene when they're storming the White House and she finally, as you said, Sinclair, like, you know, things start to unravel and she's going she's going through it.
Yeah.
All of her composure's down. She's like panicked and she has this look of pain on her face and she's got her head up against the wall and she's like grimacing. And I couldn't breathe. Like it was, I was crying, but it was like, I could cry right now thinking about it.
Yeah.
There was something about the way that she did that like hurt me to watch.
Yeah.
It was fucking insane. And then when she pulls it back together in that and like gains her composure right at that moment and she like looks basically directly at camera and the light hits it so good. And she's like, okay, and she gets up, she's like, the president's not there, and she just gets it all together. That was so powerful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with her in this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She also just, she has that moment too where she pushes Kaylee Spaney out of the way, but then she is dead so fast too that there, it's just realistic in the sense that she's there and then she's just gone.
Spoiler.
Go ahead.
Well, another spoiler, I would say Stephen McKinley Henderson is so likable.
Yeah.
He's just such a good actor. Spoiler, when he dies, I just started bawling.
Well, and he's that, he's so much the idea of like the No Country for Old Men. You know what I mean? This person has clearly been a journalist for a long time.
Yeah.
But can't keep up where the job is going and where the world is going and can't do the same things as his younger colleagues, but still has the wisdom and the experience where him being there is like very much needed and appreciated.
And where he's right when he says, every instinct in me tells me this is death. He's right.
And it's interesting to have the three generations of people doing the same job as well. Like, you see the new person starting out, you see somebody in like the middle career that could be the end of the career, and you see someone pretty much should be retired at this point, and you, their mentalities at three different stages is really fascinating to watch.
Okay, so I want to just touch on Kaylee Spaney, right, who plays Jessie now. I mean, great year for her. I think that she does something similar in this film that she also did in Priscilla, which is that when this film started, she reads so young.
Yeah, she does.
That the scene when Wagner, that's Joel, was like flirting with her, just felt so wildly inappropriate.
Yeah,
even though they had said, oh, she's 23 or whatever, but it just felt so... so awful because she looks like a child.
But like, then, where are her, like, actually what, her parents are letting her do this?
I know, seriously. But then by the end of the film, just like in Priscilla, she matures and she develops these qualities in her performance and her line delivery and her facial expressions where you really see this change. And it's actually super impressive to me because it's almost like two different performers. So I really liked her in this. She kind of gives me Shailene Woodley vibes. And in fact, I leaned over to you at one point. I was like, whatever happened to Shailene Woodley?
Shall we get into technical?
So I just found the imagery in this great. Because you do get the horrors and you also get these moments of peace as well, especially when they're driving along. And that's one thing I always kind of appreciate in war movies, and is when there are these moments of stillness. Like, there's these beautiful shots of when they're driving in the car and it's just representing a photographer's eye. And you can see Kirsten Dunst seeing these dogs kind of run along. She says, let's stop, let's take some photos, you know, in these peaceful moments as well. They're just, they can be just as important as the moments that have action. I like that. I like them having the film, the travel film, those little touches of, you know, Kaylee Spaney just shoots on film and she's doing it as they go, how a photographer is going to do this on the road. Those little technical choices I thought were really fascinating. And just the actual photographs, when this photo is taken and you see the photograph happening while the action is happening, I thought that was really effective.
That was a really nice touch. I appreciated that a lot as well, actually. And so it's something that could feel overplayed or could kind of take you out of it a bit, but it actually didn't. It really worked for me as well. I thought that the way that this film looked in terms of the sets and the production design and those elements of it was super believable. I really bought it. And granted, some of it was just like in a field, so it's not like they had all that much to do. But I really believed the world in which we were in, whether it was New York, Washington, whatever. I totally bought into it.
Yeah. The one scene where they encounter the sniper, and it's like a Christmas wonderland. Apparently, they actually did just come across that. It was a Christmas market that ran out of money.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrifying.
Very scary. There is something very scary about seeing Christmas decorations when they're not supposed to be
in
there.
Like an abandoned place. Yeah. It's either a zombie movie or a horror movie or like one of these people coming out to eat you because they've been hot. No.
Well, there's a lot of visual choices that are very much America.
Yes.
You see Christmas decorations. You see JCPenney. You see these like American staples be just desolate and abandoned. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's quite eerie.
The music also was very America. Like it was so the it was like country music and rock. It was very that. And that was maybe one. If I had one critique, I feel like there were big action sequences where they put on this like Americana music, and it the first time I was like, "Oh, this is really good and eerie," but then it happened again as the like helicopters were flying into Washington, and it did feel a little heavy-handed for me then. I thought, "Oh, I don't need it right now. I want the actual sound back of what's happening," because otherwise, I found the sound design of this to be really effective, right? Every time that someone's shooting a gun or that the sort of chaos is happening, it actually was overwhelming and oppressive, and I liked that a lot. Yeah. All right, well, what is the last word on Civil War, Helen?
Yeah, I think that I expected this movie to be a little bit different than what it was. Not to say I didn't appreciate what it was, but I would like to go back and give it a second watch now that I know. And just see what else I like take in with it, but I did like it, and the Kirsten Dunst and Jesse Plemons' performances really elevated the movie for me.
Yeah.
Edison?
Yeah, I loved this movie. It's a strange, actually, term to use because it also terrified the shit out of me.
Yeah.
But I found it really, really effective, really, like, deeply moving, like, horrifying. And I just thought it just was fantastic. I would recommend it to almost anybody to watch, but I would absolutely give them a bit of a like, hey, this is what to expect going into it. In fact, I've already had that conversation with several people. Like,
content warning.
Yeah, know that you need to know that this is a journalism, like a war journalism road trip movie that has like a big action piece finale, but that's not what the film is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like this. It gave me similar feelings to when I watched that Ken Burns Vietnam doc. It's that same kind of unsettling feeling. I didn't expect this movie to be what it was, but it actually went in a direction that I prefer over what I thought it was going to be. So that was fine with me.
Yeah.
And just love seeing Kiki be great.
Yes.
She's having just such a just amazing year.
I know.
So happy for her. Like, actual Hollywood legend. This person has been famous for 30 years and has gone through all of it and is still here, delivering incredible performances, maintaining a low profile, like just killing it.
I know. Mm-hmm.
And doing what she wants.
And she has an amazing Architectural Digest.
She really does.
Video. Oh, and her house is incredible.
It is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been another episode of Talk Movie to Me. If you would like to get in touch with us, our email is talkmovietome@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram @talkmovietome. Rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. And season 7 episodes are on YouTube. @TalkMovieToMePodcast. I'm Helen.
I'm Miss Sinclair.
And I'm Edison. Bye. Let's get our sushi.
Sushi time.